The story is told of a missionary in the 19th century. This particular missionary went to that great continent of Africa. And during his travels throughout that continent, on one occasion, he was journeying into a local village. He had not been to that village before, and he had journeyed some time, and he was tired, he was hungry, and he was ready for his bed. But as he made his way towards that village, it seemed very clear that the native peoples, the inhabitants of that village, were hostile. They did not want to see this man. He could feel it. So not only was he tired and hungry, but now he was frightened as well. Anxious though he was, he carried on, and he made his way into that hostile village. One poor woman ran out from one of the huts, ran over to this missionary, and presented him with milk, with fruit, and with meat. And then she turned on her heels and hurried back into her home. The missionary called after her. He sought to know why she had been so kind towards him, even in the midst of so much hostility. And she turned round and pulled out of her pocket a well-worn copy of the Bible in Dutch. It was clear that a missionary had already reached this woman or this village. And she turned to the missionary and said, "This is the fountain whence I drink. This is the oil that makes my lamp burn." And of course, even in her words, in her conduct, we see the marvelous transformation that the Word of God brings to lives. God, the Holy Spirit, uses the Word of God, convicts sinners through the Word of God, and points sinners to Jesus Christ. This woman's life was transformed. She had been converted. And she was a bright and shining light just where she was, among her own people. So we see the power of the Word of God completely transforming lives. And we come this morning to Acts chapter 12 and the verse 24, and we read these words, "But the Word of God grew and multiplied." The power of God's Word, the Word of God grew and multiplied. In the time that remains together here this morning, we want to simply consider the prospering of God's Word. The prospering of God's Word. When we consider the prospering of God's Word here in Acts 12 and the verse 24, we have to notice firstly a great contrast. There's a great contrast here. We look at verse 24. It says, "But the Word of God grew and multiplied." Immediately we see there's a contrast. We must look at the verses that go before, and we read again verse 22. "And the people gave a shout, saying, It is the voice of a God and not of a man. And immediately the angel of the Lord smote him, because he gave not God the glory. And he was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost." And so here we're reminded of Herod's sin. Now, we've already commented on the context before we read the scriptures together this morning. And we're reminded that Herod was responsible for taking the life of James. He had imprisoned Peter. He was going to take his life as well. We see that this man, Herod, was evil. He was a wicked man. It was his intention to disrupt the church. He saw that it pleased the Jewish people to do so. It seems then, as we have said already, there was some disagreement in Acts chapter 12 between the inhabitants of the cities of Tyre and Sidon and Herod. And so the inhabitants of these places went and they bribed Blastus. And Herod went and delivered a great oration to these people, and he impressed the people, and he was filled with his own ego, he was filled with pride. And these people were satisfying his pride. And then we read those horrendous words in verse 22. "And the people gave a shout, saying, It is the voice of a God and not of a man." What horrendous words. This is sheer idolatry. Josephus, the Jewish historian, writes that Herod did neither rebuke these people or reject their flattery. And as a result, a severe pain arose in his belly and began in the most violent manner. What a difference there is when we consider the apostles. We can consider even Paul and Barnabas in Lystra. In Acts chapter 14, they had performed miracles in front of the people, and the people declared that they must be gods. And we see in Acts chapter 14, Paul, he despairs at being called a god. Acts 14:14, when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of, they rent their clothes and ran among the people, crying out and saying, "Sirs, why do ye these things? We also are men of like passions with you, and preach unto you that ye should turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth and sea and all the things that are therein." Herod, he soaked up the worship these people were giving him. But when the people previously, or later on rather, came to worship the apostles, they were in despair. They said, "Don't look at us, look upon the Lord." We see the wickedness of this man, Herod. He made himself an idol. He enjoyed the worship. The worship that people were rendering unto him. And we have to say, we see something of that attitude here in this day and generation. You consider so many celebrities, sportsmen, political figures, those who are in the public eye, and they're only too happy to be popular. They're only too happy for people to elevate them. And to look up to them, and to think much of them. There's no humility in the way they conduct their lives. And sadly, we see those individuals that slavishly follow after their idols, slavishly follow after these prominent people, hang on their every word, and never once consider to examine what that person says or does. There's a challenge here this morning to those who may be listening yet outside of Christ, to the unsaved. You may not be guilty of setting yourself up as an idol for people to worship. But if you are serving your desires and your passions and your wants and your lusts, then you are not giving God first place in your life. You're like Herod. You're not giving the Lord the glory. We look and consider the first four commandments. Speaking of our relationship with Almighty God, we're reminded that we're not to have any other gods before Almighty God. We're not to make any graven image. We're not to bow down before anything or anyone else. Because our God, the triune God, is a jealous God. He alone deserves our worship. I ask you this morning, are you like Herod? Are you living for yourself? Are you refusing to give God the glory? You won't bow before Almighty God. You have never submitted to the Lord. You have never come to the Lord through Jesus Christ. Christ reminds us in John 14 that He is the way, He is the truth, He is the life, and we cannot come to God the Father but by Him. I say, unsaved friend, this morning, your sin condemns you. God is just. Your sin must be punished. And I tell you this morning, you need peace with God. And you can only get that peace by giving Him His place, giving Him His glory, giving Him the glory. You can only have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. You can only come and be reconciled to God on His terms. And what are they? Faith in Jesus Christ, His finished work, His shed blood, that He lives forevermore. Repentance, the turning away from our sins, and the calling to the Lord for forgiveness. For mercy. I tell you this morning that if you refuse to give God the glory in this life, then like Herod, you will face death. And you will face not only physical death, but it will be eternal. And it will be spiritual death. Of course, we have to point out here this morning, there could also be application made for believers. So often we come across those believers who live entirely almost for themselves. And they want this, and they want that, and they're about the business of constantly promoting self. They make time for the things they desire in life. They make time for their hobbies, their interests, their work, their family. But when it comes to time for the Lord, not so much. And sometimes even as believers, we need to be reminded that our lives, our entire lives belong to the Lord. We're bought with a price. And we must bow to the Lord and submit to His leading in our lives. But of course, we said a few moments ago, there's a great contrast here. There's a great contrast. A contrast between this wicked king who had been cut off for his sin and the Word of God, which would continue to surge forth and accomplish God's will and see the salvation of souls. Great contrast. A wicked king who was cut off. Contrast with the Word of God, which went forth. This wicked king sought to stop the Word of God progressing. We will always find that there are those kind of people in this world. They want to stop the gospel message. Whether it be governments, whether it be movements, colleagues in the workplace, whether it be even friends and family members, they're uncomfortable with this gospel message. They don't want to hear it. They don't want to be told that they're sinners and they must go to the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't want to hear truth proclaimed. They want to stop this message. That's what Herod tried to do. But we remember that God was in control. Look at what happened here. Herod was dealt with. He was judged. He was removed by the Lord. In verse 24 we read, "But the word of God grew and multiplied." What an encouragement. Though people may stand in the way of the gospel and seek to prevent the spread of the gospel, we look at these words, "But the word of God grew and multiplied." Herod, this man, tried to stop the word of God. The Lord removed him. And the word of God went forward. What an encouragement. One commentator wrote the following words: "The worms that ate Herod are set in contrast with the word. Both are God's instruments. Herod might want to destroy the church, but the word of God, inspired, infallible, inerrant, invincible, marched gloriously on. The armed might of government may be mobilized against it, but the word of God knows no boundaries to its empire, no barriers to its progress." What encouragement. "But the word of God grew and multiplied." That's what the verse says. You think about church history. You think about all of those figures. You think perhaps even of the likes of William Tyndale, a man who sought to translate the Bible into the English language for the English people. How much opposition he faced. The history books reveal to us that even the Bishop of London sought to buy up all of the copies of the scriptures in English, gather them together, and burn them. What opposition! Tyndale would give his life for the cause. Even in this day and age in which we live, there are governments across this world and they're seeking to suppress the word of God. And yet we look at the words of verse 24, "But the word of God grew and multiplied." Are we not encouraged? Are we not encouraged? We look at this passage, this verse of Scripture, we see the end of Herod here, a man who tried to stop the Word of God. And in contrast to that, we see the Word of God continuing, the church expanding and growing. What a contrast. But the Word of God grew and multiplied. So we see a great contrast. But secondly, when we look at Acts chapter 12 and the verse 24, we see as well a great comfort. A great comfort. "But the word of God grew and multiplied." Surely we are reminded, even as we read these words, of the power and the authority of the word of God. That fills us as believers with comfort. We're reminded when we read these words that over in Jonah we're told salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord has revealed his plan of salvation in the scriptures. And the Lord has ordered it that this plan of salvation goes into all the world through the gospel, through the scriptures, through the preaching of the word of God, so that men and women and boys and girls can be saved. Almighty God works through his word. 2 Timothy 3:15, a verse I'm sure that's well known, "And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures." Listen. "Which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." The Lord works through the scriptures. God the Holy Ghost applies the word of God to the hearts of sinners. He convicts sinners and he draws them to Christ. The Westminster Confession of Faith, we read these words: "We acknowledge the inward illuminations of the Spirit of God to be necessary for the saving understanding of such things revealed in the Word of God." It's comforting to know that salvation is God's work. It's comforting to know that God works through the Scriptures. The special revelation of the Bible points us to Christ, points us to the cross of Calvary, points us to the fact that on the third day He rose from the dead, that He ever lives to make intercession for us even now. He is risen. It's comforting to know that salvation is God's work. He speaks to sinners through His Word, and it's comforting to know all of this because so often we feel inadequate when we present the gospel. That's true. I can say, honestly, it's true for me. I feel inadequate as I seek to present the gospel. Maybe you find yourself seeking to witness to someone, even one-to-one, and you're in conversation with them. And you find that you're stumbling over your words and you're anxious and you're nervous and you're making mistakes. And maybe afterwards you'll go home and think about what you've said. And you'll think, well, I should have said that. Or I shouldn't have phrased that the way I did. The great London preacher, C.H. Spurgeon, wrote that on a Sabbath evening, after at least two Sunday services, he would often feel great discouragement. He found that within his mind there was a huge post-mortem going on of all the messages he had preached that day. All of the things he should have said but forgot about. All of the things he should have phrased differently. And child of God, though we may struggle when we seek to present the gospel, we present the word of God, the gospel message, to the best of our ability, and then we trust in the Lord. And we read verses like verse 24 that says, but the word of God grew and multiplied. And we take that verse to the Lord in prayer. And we speak to the Lord. And we petition the Lord. And we cry to the Lord and say, if this is the case, speak to that soul I witnessed to today. Sometimes we find ourselves in awful situations. Maybe there's a tragedy in our family. Amongst our friends, there's heartbreak, there's some circumstance that we could never foresee coming about. We don't have the words. What do we say? Well, share a verse of Scripture. Share a verse of Scripture and trust the Lord to work and lean on verses like verse 24. But the word of God grew and multiplied. We present the message the best we can. Then we trust the Lord. We trust the Lord. We're mere instruments in the hand of the Lord. We simply present the message of the gospel to sinners. And we trust. It's comforting to know that the word of God will advance. That's what verse 24 is telling us here. How often in prayer meetings we take those words of Isaiah 55 upon our hearts and pray them to the Lord. Remembering that God's word shall not return unto him void, but it will accomplish that which he sent it forth to do. The Lord will accomplish his will through his word. That's what happened here in Acts 12. But the word of God grew and multiplied. I have to say as well, it's almost also a great comfort to be reminded that it is through the word of God. It is through presenting the message of salvation, the message of the gospel, that men and women will be saved. The reality is we live in a generation in which many who would claim to be evangelical will use almost any means that they can think of to fill a church building. And often those means are used at the expense of the Word of God. And you find that the Word of God is set to the side. And if it's not set to the side, it's a very small part of whatever they're doing. Now, don't misunderstand me. We're to be wise. We're to take whatever opportunities the Lord presents to present the gospel to the lost. But that's exactly the point. Our core responsibility is to present the gospel. It's to get to the Scriptures and to get to Christ. John 5:39, the Lord Jesus Christ says, search the Scriptures. For they testify of him. The Scriptures point us to Christ. If we look at the words used there in verse 24, the word of God grew and multiplied. Carries the meaning of growing up, of increasing, abounding, multiplying. Similar language is used over in Luke 13. The kingdom of God is like the grain of a mustard seed. And it grows into a tree, and then the fowls of the air lodge in the branches. And we're reminded, of course, when the seed of the gospel, the word of God, is sown, then it grows, it expands, and there's many branches. What a comfort to be reassured that the word of God can and will accomplish what the Lord desires. It will accomplish the salvation of God's people, the growth of the Christian church. And so here we see a great comfort. So we consider in verse 24 of Acts 12 a great contrast, a great comfort. But finally this morning, we notice a great challenge. A great challenge. But the word of God grew and multiplied. Now perhaps you look at these words this morning and you're struggling to see where the challenge is. And you say, well, I don't think there's a challenge there for me. There's maybe a challenge for someone who is a preacher or a minister or a missionary or someone who is charged with sharing the word of God to other people, but not me. That's not my responsibility. I ask you this morning, believer, was that the attitude of the Christians in Acts chapter 12? Let's just consider again what was happening in this chapter. James is imprisoned, loses his life. Why? Because he's faithful. Peter's imprisoned, he's facing death before the Lord miraculously saves him. But why is he imprisoned? Why is he persecuted? Because he's faithful. The church as a whole is facing persecution. Why? Because they're faithful. We see in verse 5 of Acts chapter 12 that the church is praying without ceasing unto God for the life of Peter. The church is faithful. I ask you this morning, Christian, are you faithful? Are you sharing the word of God? At the beginning of this chapter, Herod appears to be in control. He's suppressing the church. But by the end, Herod is dead and the church is prospering. And what has the church been doing? The church has been faithful. The church has been at prayer. And I ask you again, are you faithful? Yes, in prayer, but also in presenting the word of God to those in your circles. You all know the words of Romans 10 verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But let's read on. How then shall they call on him of whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? I ask the question again, are you seeking to share the word of God with those who aren't saved? We have a responsibility as believers to share the gospel. We cannot simply say, well, if salvation is of the Lord, then I'm not going to witness. That's not what the early church did. That's not what Christ taught. Christ said in the Great Commission, he made it abundantly clear, go and preach the gospel to every creature. Preach the gospel to all. Preach it freely. Preach it fully. Preach it faithfully. We look out into a world. We don't know who will be saved, so we preach the message of the gospel to all, and we pray. We pray holding on to the words of Acts 12, 24, but the word of God grew and multiplied. Time and time again in the book of Acts, the church is at prayer. The church is faithful. And we see the gospel is shared and going forward, and God answers prayer. And souls are saved. Oh, there's a great challenge in these words. The word of God grew and multiplied. Are you faithful? Are you sharing this message to all you know? A wonderful, wonderful word of the Lord. True wisdom, its pages unfold. And though we may read them 1,000 times o'er, they never grow old. Each line hath a treasure, each promise a pearl, that all, if they will, may secure. And we know that when time and the world pass away, God's word shall forever endure.